Hi, welcome to Outthink. I'm Lawrence Akers, clinical hypnotherapist, member of the LGBT community, and on a couch with Joe.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Lawrence.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Now, I wanted to talk about the marriage equality plebiscite.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time of this recording, it's literally 1 week since the announcement of the postal plebiscite, or the postal vote, I should say. And already we're beginning to see an enormous amount of really horrible content going up online. What kind of impact do you envisage this kind of content is going to have on, you know, perhaps people that are even just beginning to explore their sexuality right now?
Well, firstly, I just want to say that I myself found myself getting depressed. I'm not even in a relationship, and I just found it depressing to be, you know, hearing all this information and just sort of notice. Like, for example, a friend of mine, 2 days after the announcement, was living in Castle Maine, and he received a pamphlet in his mail from the Christian group, sort of, you know, really, really putting the gay community down. Mm-hmm. So it happened that quickly. I just think that there could be a range, a spectrum of emotions from, you know, starting from hate, you know, where there's hate towards the government or towards the process, or there is a sort of defiance, or you could say resilience, where people are sort of coming up with strategies of, like, don't vote or put gender in your envelope, or all these different ways to sort of, you know, mark your independence in a way to how you vote. I think there's also a little bit of disappointment and frustration there where, you know, people sort of don't feel they're being marginalised or not being, you know, inclusive.
Mm.
And I think there's also going to be a group of people that don't really care. You know, so I think that there's a lot of emotion going on. But once the campaign starts, because I know that there's going to be a lot of money invested in, you know, the no vote.
Yep.
So once the campaigning starts, it'd be interesting to see if the information is just registered on as a medium. Mm-hmm. So, like, is it just going to be a media thing where you might see the newspapers or billboards or in the paper, on TV, or is it going to be where it becomes personal?
Mm.
You know, where you might go to work and then someone who's out might be, you know, someone might then say something. So that'll be an interesting thing. I mean, I don't want to guess how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Part of me is hoping that, you know, they keep giving us these numbers where there's quite a bigger percentage of people that want to vote yes. So I'm hoping that's fine. But, you know, the thing is that with these sort of plebiscite, I can't even say the word. Sally, say it.
Plebiscite.
Thank you. I always get tongue-tied. With that, things that happen sometimes is that the campaigns can sometimes shift the vote.
Yeah.
So people that might be really open to saying yes might then, you know, be influenced by campaigns. Like, I saw an ad or a campaign in the paper the other day where it was saying that the, you know, the gay marriage thing is just the beginning.
Yes, and you know, we do have commentators out there like Andrew Bolt, posting something today saying that, do we really think this is where it's going to end, you know? It's just the start with marriage equality. Like, I mean, you know, we have to be realistic here. I don't know of any LGBT people that like to have sex with dogs.
Mm.
I'm not saying that that might happen, but I don't think even them are going to necessarily want to marry their dog. I think it just is ridiculous. The extreme to which...
It's actually embarrassing.
It is, isn't it? Because you really think...
When you've got brothers and sisters from other countries who are allowed to get married, and other countries that are more Catholic-driven or more religiously focused, and they're so accepting. Like, I'm Maltese, and Malta has accepted gay marriage, and, you know, Malta has a church on every corner.
Mm.
Malta every night has a festa based on a religious, you know, saint. Right, for them to turn around and say that they're accepting of gay marriage is just...
Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland, again, heavily religious. Germany as well.
So it's embarrassing in a way that we're sort of...
We are really behind.
Yeah. But, you know, those people will, you know, they're going to advocate with the no vote. They're going to push, you know, they try and push the scare tactics and making it look like that we are evil and corrupt and all those sort of things. And so I think this, going back to your original question about mental health, I think that one thing that we need to be mindful of is banding together,
yep.
You know, supporting each other. And, you know, even within our own community, I can see some of the discrepancies where we talked about the yes and the no. Like some people are saying, you know, you need to vote, you need to make sure you register, and then other people are saying don't vote.
Let's boycott.
And so then people are starting to comment amongst our own group about that, because it's such a sensitive and such a volatile subject.
But ultimately, everyone has the right to decide how they wish to respond to this vote. I really hope people don't waste this vote. It's the best chance we have right now of achieving marriage equality. I do know of some LGBT people who actually don't care for marriage equality. And as far as they're concerned, just see it as kind of normalising the relationships in a heterosexual way.
Because when they're saying it's a multi-billion dollar industry once it gets approved, all the weddings and all that's going to happen, it's going to bring a big, you know, billions of dollars into the economy, because there'll be more weddings and there'll be more presents and there'll be more drinking.
For me personally, it's just about having the same rights as anyone else. Because I feel I deserve it. That's all it is, you know, and I don't think it matters if you're in a relationship or not. You know, you should be saying yes for your future partner.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because it's just about being able to say, I deserve to have this as much as a heterosexual or non-LGBT performing person.
I mean, and this is just my opinion, but I sometimes get a little bit despondent to the fact that we don't do enough. Like, you know, like someone was ages ago was saying to me, you know, if we really want to make a stand, if we really want to make people notice, well, why don't we just have a don't go to work day?
Yeah.
Just for one day, all gay and, you know, all the art community is just don't go to work. You know, so imagine places like in retail, imagine, you know, coffee shops, imagine, you know, Qantas and all those businesses that have got a big, strong, you know, gay population working there that, you know, that would be an impact so people could listen. But again, people, you know, that would cause havoc, and we don't want the trouble, or we want to be seen as, you know, not being as troublemakers. But at the end of the day, it's like, say, for example, if it doesn't get through, I'm just curious to know, or I'm curious to sort of predict, will this be like another stonewall? Will this be, will there be a moment where we become a
riot of some sort?
Will we turn and go, you know what, it's like enough. I pay tax and we're part of this community, and it's okay for you to, you know, to do certain things around my community. But when it comes to equality of marriage, it's like you're sort of saying no.
I think regardless of if marriage equality happens now or not, it will happen at some point. It's an inevitability that marriage equality will happen at some point. I think that the people that are against marriage equality are generally an older population, which is why this postal vote is actually kind of skewed more towards the no immediately, because of the fact that younger people, I think there's some young people out there who've never seen an envelope in their life.
I find it hard to believe, but I understand.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't actually registered to vote.
I can't remember where my original sentence was going there. I kind of got sidetracked by
that. With the fact that it will eventually happen.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it would be great to be able to be involved in having it happen right now, be this part of the history. I do find it kind of ironic that there are people out there who are afraid of marriage equality happening because they're afraid that it might cause prejudice against Christians and their beliefs. And it's like, yeah, but it's your beliefs that gay people are wrong that's holding it back in the first place.
Yeah.
We're really just talking about people's belief systems here.
Yeah. I mean, like with the Christian thing, don't get me started. Like I'm an ex-Catholic and, you know, the whole thing with the church and the priests and all that sort of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of double standards.
It is ironic that they say that, you know, they're afraid of marriage equality happening because of a fear of pedophilia. Now, I think statistically there are more heterosexual pedophiles than there are homosexual.
Yeah. But
open up the paper without seeing a church scandal around it lately.
Well, this is what I think, you know, I'm sort of keep going back to your original question, but I think this is what we need to be really mindful of with, you know, about, you know, what do we do to help our brothers and sisters? Because there is going to be, I mean, for me personally, I remember like Wednesday was, I think, and I was reading it and I just felt depressed. So I'm thinking, and it hasn't even started yet. I mean, when the ads campaign started and the people are young and they're at school and they're not out yet, and, you know, there may be more bullying or there may be, you know, more segregation or there may be more disassociation, you know, going back to an earlier video podcast that we did on Friends, you know, we may see that Friends may pull away from, you know, their friends because of the fact that, you know, the media is saying that this is happening. And we understand and we know, because we've seen it through history, that, you know, it's easy to create propaganda.
Yep.
It's easy to create, what's the word I'm looking for, like sensationalism,
yep.
you know, to make it, you know, I mean, I know, I look at my parents, for example, and they're in the older category and, you know, they believe everything on television because it's on television.
Yeah.
You know, if it's on television.
TV doesn't lie.
Yeah. So if the ads are saying all these things, then, you know, a lot of people will believe. And, you know, I think it must be really difficult to try and come up with the campaign for Yes.
Mm.
Because, you know, are you going to use emotion which may, you know, filter into the people that are going to, that don't see the world through those sort of, you know, goggles? Or, you know, do you come up with an anti sort of campaign to the no? You know, so it must be, I'm interested to see how the marketing people, you know, how they promote the Yes
promote mode. It, yeah, because it's, I agree, it's a hard one because ultimately we're just trying to promote that love is love.
Yeah.
So do you promote love is love with hate? You can't really, can you? You kind of have to promote it with a sensibility about it that says we understand and we empathise, but it's time now. I think probably what the people may do is to just ignore the other side altogether and just promote why not having marriage equality now is just freaking stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, I mean, it'd be nice just for them just to not get involved in the hate part and just maybe just give, you know, keep it, give facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, again, you know, touch wood, I've been quite lucky. I've never really experienced recent homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't really, you know, heard anything like that for many, many, many years. So I think that, again, a lot of young people are probably for marriage equality. But the reality is that someone brought up this, is that, you know, we also live in the city bubbles. You know, so, you know, I don't really know much about what's going on in the country. Yeah. But yet, you know, some of my friends have said that people in the country are quite open as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're quite, you know, the younger generation are quite accepting of it. So it's, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think the statistics aren't 100% accurate.
I find it interesting that whenever I boost a post on Facebook that is LGBT related, I always get at least a handful of really horrible comments popping up.
Mm.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, one of the ones I wrote was about why the LGBT community need more focus on mental health. Mm. You know, pointing out that we get all this hate directed at us, and it's, you know, it's very easy to take that on and feel that we are flawed. Already we're living with this feeling of being flawed from growing up and having our belief systems develop over that time. But then to have it kind of reinforced by society with these comments, it's horrible. And generally whenever I see those comments, I just respond with the, thank you for reinforcing my thoughts kind of response. You know, it's like their actions are just totally proving that what I've written in the article is actually correct.
Yeah. But do you think that a lot of the times, a lot of the comments are egocentric, like people just see the world through their eyes, you know? And
oh, absolutely.
You know, so when, it's their fear of like either not knowing gay people or not knowing gay couples.
They may not have ever met an openly gay person in their life.
But the interesting
thing, they may also be latent homosexual themselves.
Exactly. But like, it's interesting how Tony Abbott, for example, sister, and yet, but he's still into the, you know, he's a really strong advocate for the no vote. So that sometimes it's your own personal beliefs that overtake, you know, people or family or friendships. You know, it's just, it's what's the word? It's ego or it's your values.
It's your values, yeah.
You know, that come
it's beliefs that. And values that come into play here.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Abbott was studying to be in the priesthood at one point there. So, yeah, he does have very strong religious beliefs. You totally overlook the fact that, you know, eating shellfish is mentioned 4 times in the Bible as being an abomination more than homosexuality. People cherry pick the Bible to back their beliefs.
Mm. But also there must be an element of threat. You know, they feel threatened by, going back to your point about the, you know, some people not agreeing, I sometimes think that there is an element of that's in the background where I think we've really worked hard to get established as seeing, you know, we did have, I remember in the 90s, early 2000s, it was that sort of normalisation, you know, like we want to be normalised. And then through that normalisation,
well, I think those through things like Priscilla,
yeah,
Queen of the Desert, or that Melrose started.
Place. You know, Melrose Place
it was through entertainment that normalisation started.
But then, you know, in that we have, there's been a risk, and I think it's been successful in, and we can say social media's been a part of it, but we've lost the ghettos. We've lost, yep. Melbourne here, we've lost Commercial Road.
And it's happening globally, yeah.
Yeah, it's happening globally. So, like, and then we sort of go, okay, now we just want to be part of this...
Integration
thing. And so I think a lot of people that don't understand feel threatened. It's like I try and recall back to the days when they became, schools became not segregated.
Mm.
So when blacks and whites were together, or, I remember cafes and toilets were segregated. And so now all of a sudden we're saying, well, let's all be the same. So we've experienced this before through other topics and other ways, and we know, and I agree with you, it will eventually happen.
Mm.
And we will look back at history and probably go, why on earth did it take so long? And our kids, or grandchildren or friends of grandchildren and all that will look at us and say, why did you do that to people in our community? But I just think that right now, a lot of it is based on fear, and that's just my biggest concern, is that the media and the propaganda will be fear.
Yeah.
Will be that fear about your point about...
We certainly live in a world nowadays where the politicians utilise fear-mongering to get their way. We have political parties in Australia that got into power through three-word slogans and fear-mongering. We have in the US a president who... pretty much based his entire campaign on fear-mongering, promising to build a wall or to do other things to stop Muslims and stop Mexicans and all sorts of vast generalizations that he used in order to trigger people's fear points and to get him into power. And the one thing that we've learned from the last few years is that you can't predict a result on anything.
Mm.
No one could have predicted that Donald Trump would win.
Yeah.
No one would predict that the UK would decide to pull out of Europe or the EU. And again, that was done through a campaign of fear. And it's really just about, people understanding what people's trigger points are and going to town on them.
Mm.
And focusing on hate instead of what connects people.
Yeah. And that's why I think that, I think a lot of people may think that they don't need to vote,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not compulsory. So this is where we really need to...
It's like when Ricky Lee was lost out of Australian Idol. Exactly. No one saw that coming.
That's a really good point. It's like people just need to sort of like know that it's important to vote. That's why I'm personally a little bit confused with the whole yes, no thing. Should we vote or not vote in our community?
Mm.
That confused, because I thought that, that people would want to vote. But like then I'm listening to the other arguments about not voting, and it's sort of like, okay, that makes sense. And
my stance is, for all it's worth, and it's just my stance, is that we have an opportunity now to vote and have our voices be heard. It may not be the way we want it to happen, but it's the option that we have right now. If it goes to no, then it's probably going to shut down the debate on this for a while. But it's the only chance we have. If you don't vote, it's going to go to no, and it's not going to be spoken about for a while, because politicians are going to use that as an excuse to say, hey, look, we went, general public said no, it's off the table.
That money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, I'd say don't waste your vote. Don't put glitter in it. It sounds like a really camp idea, and I did think of doing it myself, but I think that would only give them reasons to discredit your vote.
It will be discredited straight away.
Yeah, just do what needs to be done and check to make sure that your address is right. The Australian Electoral Commission, I checked and my partner's isn't. So, I've got to get his up to speed as well. It's a little thing.
Is it quite easy to look it up?
Yes. And I'll put the website on the link as well. I think it's important for us to do everything we can right now to try to make this happen if we care about it.
And can I ask you a future question? So if we get yes, have you fantasized about your wedding?
You've assumed I'm having a wedding.
Well, I'm just wondering, is that something that you wanted to do once, because I'm imagining that once it becomes legal, that I'm imagining there'd be a way for people that have been waiting to, there's certain friends of mine that are just so beautiful and I'm so happy for them. Like, they just want to get married.
Well, Ant and I had a commitment ceremony in 2008. And when Ant asked me, I was proposed to, I was the bride, allegedly.
And I'm always the bridesmaid.
I said to Ant that I would do it, but on the proviso that it wasn't a wedding. which sounds odd. I wanted to do it, but I wanted to do
it. Was it because back then you wanted to be sort of unique?
I wanted to do it my way. Yeah, I wanted to do it our way, something a bit different.
But what about legalising it now?
For me, the reason to do it would be legalising.
Yeah. So, you know, things like, you know, getting it's the equality with your funds and, you know, there's something was to happen and there was, say, not a will in place. Although, so, you know, we've seen those horror stories.
It's all those things. You know, my love is equal regardless if the government tells me it is or not.
Yeah.
But it's about...
So there's no party, don't you say?
I actually have friends who tell me now still that my commitment ceremony was the best wedding they've ever been to in their life.
Wow.
It was great. And, you know, it was largely because people turned up and they didn't know what to expect for a start. For a lot of people, they had not been to a commitment ceremony or a gay commitment ceremony before. And I'd asked my celebrant if he could please start with a series of jokes. And when we were planning this, I said that, and he looked at me and went, "You want jokes?" And I went, "Yep, I want to start with jokes." And the reason was I wanted to break that ice. I wanted people to laugh and to
be relaxed.
Be relaxed, and it worked.
Mm. I went to a commitment ceremony back in '98, and the celebrant was Pan Am.
I thought it would have been great.
It was full on. It was like one of the best commitment ceremonies I've ever been to. So again, I'm just, you know, I know that that couple's still together, so I'm wondering to myself, will they replicate that? Because they've already done it. So, you know, it's you're right. Like, a lot of people have had those commitment ceremonies in either another country or they've had one here. Mm. And then, you know, would you just, is this matter of going down to, what do you just get the paper?
You know what, I think...
Where would you go to get things signed?
We went to City of Melbourne, yeah. Town Hall, and had it signed there. But the thing that I'm just thinking about now is, you know, it's a ritual, and we all know how important rituals are in our lives for things starting and things finishing. So maybe in some ways, you know, the marriage or commitment ceremony itself has been partially there to help keep the relationship together, to make it feel more substantial. You know, when people talk to us, Ange and I, about how long we've been together, we always go, "Oh, we've been together 14 years, we had a commitment ceremony to it." You know, we've like the two anniversaries. So whether or not that's something else that we look at is the fact that, you know, will marriage equality help our relationships benefit from having that ritual that we normally don't have?
Well, what I think that, you know, like, I've only been to one, you know, so, and I didn't go to yours. So I think to answer your question, like, I would like to go to more.
Mm.
You know, like, I'd like to actually be with, you know, a number of my friends celebrating a couple that love each other that's not just a heterosexual couple.
Mm.
You know, like, and also I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on presents. It's like, if I was to get married, I'd expect that back. You know? And in my family, we give a lot of, you know, we make a lot of money from weddings. So, you know, I always say that to my mum, like, you know, I can't get the $30,000 because I'm not getting married, but, like, if it's legal, I'm going to, you know, there's an opportunity there to actually have the celebration, to get those sort of things that are tradition in your family. And, you know, it's nice, I think. It's sort of nice. But the interesting thing, again, culturally is, you know, will there be, if it was a yes, but will there be just a division created? Or, like, I'm not going to that, or I will go to that. Or will there be, like, Ireland, where most people just get on with it now?
Yeah.
You know, Ireland's just, you know, yes, it's been done. We voted yes. And
New Zealand, they're our closest neighbours.
Yeah.
They've had marriage equality now for a few years. We've not seen any radical shift
in behaviours or
what happens after.
Mm.
You know what happened after marriage equality? Gay people got married. That was about it.
Mm.
I think in the US we've seen perhaps more of a radical shift. We've had... Well, I can't remember that lady's name, the one that was not handing out marriage certificates or registering because of her personal beliefs, and she ended up going to jail for it.
Right, okay. I thought maybe
it's... Or there are store businesses that will not support same-sex weddings.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a cake store that famously did that. And so I think we do see businesses that decide...
They might decide just to know with who they serve.
Yeah.
But I was thinking more about, you know, we are going to go into equality and marriage and all that sort of stuff, then we need to be mindful that then we open up the divorce... You know, divorces and separations, and so that was what I thought you were talking about. Like, that's going to be a shift.
Mm.
You know, where now if people, you know, if gay couples, you know, gay lesbian couples separate, they I think it's all done privately.
Yeah.
But now it'll be all public. You know, it'll be like a normal, if that VSBoke comes through. So there'll be a shift in behaviours as well. And I think that's just...
That's still just being equal.
Yeah. But, like, you know, that's the thing, is there's going to be a lot of sort of behavioural things in our community that we are going to be open to through the yes vote. And if the no vote does happen, how do you think some people would feel or behave if we, you know, I know you said it may be put under the carpet and then not addressed again. What do you think might be some of the mental health issues coming up with the no vote coming through?
It's a really hard one to say, isn't it? Obviously, we're going to experience as a community, I think, a collective massive disappointment and anger and frustration and grief.
Mm.
So I think it's going to take a bit of processing for our community first.
And I also hope that, like, the people that were for the no vote don't sort of say, told you so.
That would be poking the bear, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like that whole thing where it's that, you know, a status thing. Mm. Like, you know, we know now that it's a no, you're lower.
Yeah.
Has there been any other countries that have said no in the vote?
Not that I know of. Maybe any people that are watching or listening to this might come back and let us know.
That's interesting, isn't it? Like, it'd be really embarrassing if we come back with a no vote if the rest of the world is all pioneering towards a yes vote.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, the thing with LGBT rights is that we've made enormous steps forward, but we should never for a moment think that we couldn't take a step backwards.
Yeah.
And again, America is a great example of that.
Mm.
Under the right government and leadership, they were able to take massive strides forward. Now that we have this orange Donkey Kong as a president in the US, we're finding some of those rights being stripped backwards. You know, the most recent being that the transgender people can't serve.
Yeah.
And that is, again, like taking those steps backwards and just having those, you know, messages of you're not equal, you're not the same, you're not right, be projected onto people. In some ways, you know, we're losing our gay scene nowadays. I do make a differentiation between gay scene and gay community. But we're doing that because, as we mentioned before, it's all about being more integrated. But what happens if things go backwards again? Will we miss not having our own spaces in which we can not worry about these issues and just be ourselves and enjoy that like-minded company?
Mm. Yeah, like, I just think that that's just part of the question. It's something that we've created ourselves. I mean, if we wanted some things in the past and now, you know,
it's the risk versus reward.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Like, you know, if we wanted to hide and be underground and, you know, not talk about it and not be free, then, you know, we would probably have a strong scene. But the reality is that now, as we've evolved, we've become, like you were saying before, with entertainment and through media and through television shows, we've become more accustomed to, you know, it's funny, like, I watch TV shows now and I wait for the token gay character to come into it.
I'm still waiting for Bert and Ernie to come out.
Yeah. You know, so, like, it's interesting how then if every day people are watching, you know, TV at 7:30 at night and there's the token effeminate or the token gay or the token lesbian in the show and no one bats an eyelid. Like, I went to watch Atomic Blonde the other day and, you know, the Charlize Theron character was, like, you know, full on lesbian scenes and the audience, no one said anything.
No, it hardly bats an eyelid nowadays. I know that... the last season of Doctor Who had their first openly lesbian character in it. And they made a big deal out of that. And really, for many of the fans who were kind of going, deal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think many people felt that some of the past companions may have been gay or lesbian. It just wasn't focused on.
Yeah.
And kind of got that feeling.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how you say that, like, how, you know, even this whole voting, this whole topic, how we've taken our shifts away from much bigger topics.
Mm.
Like, you know, for me personally, a bigger topic would be mental health, as you know, for you as well, or it would be the aged care. You know, how there's, like, a huge, like, hole there. And, you know, other things like the environment and all that sort of stuff. And so it sort of looks like sometimes I get a little bit annoyed thinking, you know, are we sort of being taken over here to talk about this topic?
Yeah.
Where we, you know, so we just avoid...
We should really be looking at something else. Look, they're all equally important topics. I think this is simply because, you know, when it comes to love, when it comes to being able to celebrate your relationship openly, you know, there is this massive divide here.
Mm.
And we are being told by certain Christians, I'm not going to say all Christians, as some of my friends know, I can say there are two types of Christians, the ones that, you know, preach to love one another as you would love yourself, and then there's those that will cherry pick and focus on differences and use religion as a way to judge other people in a righteous and bigoted manner. Mm. I can't remember where I was going with that. I'm having great fun with this today, guys, trying to keep my train of thought going. Where was I before that? Neither of us can remember. So
I'm just picturing you.
We were talking about more important topics. I think it's about, really, this is a starting point, I guess, in a sense of wanting to make sure that when it comes to love, our love is recognised as being as equal to non-LGBT people's love.
Yeah.
And having the same rights.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, you know, the world should be seen as equal.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, you know, really extreme situations in the world, which are quite odd. Like, we have obesity in some countries, but yet famine in others, which is, to me, is a contradiction. You know, we have, you know, bombs, terrorism and all that, and then we have these groups of people that want to love. So it's just the world sometimes is just disjointed.
We are on the edge of a potential war right now. That should be not just headline news, but that is something that is to make anyone nervous and anxious. And I guess, you know, this raises a valid point again. What can people do to help not be so affected by the news that we're getting from the world nowadays?
I think awareness is a really big one. Just be aware of what's going on, hovering above the topics and just being able to look down and making, you know, really constructed, valid sort of opinions and points rather than sensationalizing or connecting with propaganda or with sensationalism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. It's like, you know, global, you know, if we just listen to all the news, we might as well climb under the bed.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty scary stuff. But when you're actually aware, going, okay, what can I do about this? How can I action this? Are there small parts that I can take place? You know, at the end of the day, we all can contribute one step at a time.
Mm.
You know, yes, the changes may not occur as quickly, but, you know, it's those small steps are really important. So that's where, going back to that voting thing, is like, I know we have our own opinions, but I think that we need to be really, really sort of open to the fact that we need to be aligned in the way that, you know, I agree with you with the point of, yes, that we should vote rather than, you know, just leaving it or making sure that the vote gets counted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also the other thing is, you know, it comes down to that topic of control. You know, a lot of these things that are happening in the globe are completely outside the control of one person. You can turn off your Facebook feed. You can turn off the news and to step away from it. I think, though, we just need to try to keep as positive a frame of mind as possible. We don't know what the outcome of these things are going to be.
Mm.
It'll be disappointing if all the horrors of the world end up going in a negative direction. But we need to be consciously aware of our negative expectancy as well and to try to make sure that we realise that, you know, that's not the outcome yet. That's not what's happened yet. It could turn out to be better than what we expected.
Mm. Good.
I think we've kind of covered everything here.
We have.
So, look, thank you again, Joe, for your time.
Thank you for asking me. Hopefully I'll see you again. I'm sure we'll see you all again soon.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, everyone. But yes.